Now back to verse 20 of Colossians 1. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, by Christ, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, peace made. Peace was made. There wasn't peace before, but it was made. It was brought to pass. Peace made is salvation. That's what it is. Christ died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. That's not just a change of location. That's a change of status. That's a going from condemnation to favor, from banishment to acceptance. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at, in consideration of peace made, the Lord made peace by his precious blood. Romans 8, 6. If peace has to be made, then there is enmity to be put away by that peace. Romans 8, 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Clearly, these two situations are indicative of our condition by nature and our condition in Christ. To be carnally minded by nature, as we're born into this world, we're flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh and is mindful of the flesh and the things of this world. But to be spiritually minded is life, to be born again of the Spirit and to have spiritual understanding and spiritual ability by the grace of God is life and peace. That's our text. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We need peace with God. We need to be spiritually minded because we're born carnally minded. And that is enmity against God. That's the problem. Peace must be made because we're enemies of God. Enmity there is hatred, bitter hatred of God. We hate God. Most religious people, I highly suspect, would never admit that. I've never hated God. Just like the Jews said, we've never been in bondage to any man. They were in bondage when they said that. People say, I've never hated God, and they hate the God of the Bible when they're saying that. And look, here's the problem. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. And that's not just the moral law. That's not just the Ten Commandments. That's anything God says. They're not subject to God or what he says. His righteous claims upon us. And it's impossible that they would be, that they could be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Everything we do in the flesh, when we're carnally minded, before we know Christ and are in Christ, displeases God. We simply all, by nature, are children of wrath. That's why we use that phrase so much. Turn to Ephesians 2 with me for a second. And this, I believe, will also shed light on our text. Remember our text, having made peace. Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. Ephesians 2. And really this whole chapter, we may not read every verse of this, but we certainly could in light of our text. We all by nature are the children of wrath. We use that phrase by nature a lot because Paul here, or the Lord, through Paul's writing, has given us a way to describe our condition before God, before God. Our condition before God, before God, before we met God, before we knew God. What we are in ourselves, in the flesh. And so, of course, we use that a lot. That's when we need to talk about that. That's, I believe, the best way to describe it, by nature. What we are naturally in this world. We're the children of wrath. And that's talking about God's wrath against our sin. Okay, so Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's all of us by nature, among whom also we all had our conduct, our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There's just no way to find any boasting in that, is there? There's no place to put a proud foot down in that, on that ground. Wherefore, verse 11, "Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were at one time afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, by the cross, by the blood. He made peace with his precious blood. And so we preach peace on that basis of reconciliation with God for a sinner by the blood of his Son. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians 5:18. The Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying, and I pray by God's grace and God's power and God's direction and ability, we're saying it clear from the Word of God that Christ made peace between us and God, which is salvation. What happened in the garden? Separation from God. Enmity between us and God. Our sins have separated between us and our God. 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." God is the one that reconciled. And Lord willing, we'll talk about that a little more in a minute. What a wonder. What a wonder. God is the offended one. And yet he's the one that made reconciliation. That's not how it's supposed to work. But what a beautiful gospel truth that is. By Jesus Christ. And hath given to us the ministry. That's what we preach, reconciliation. Based on what? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God doesn't impute our trespasses to us. Now, justification says what trespasses? But reconciliation and forgiveness says God did something about our sins. God did something. He doesn't impute them to us. How is that possible? We're the ones that did them. We're sinful by nature, and everything we do is sin, and yet he doesn't impute our trespasses unto us. But God's got to be satisfied. God's justice has to be satisfied. So what does he do? He imputes them to Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. On what basis? We can't just say, well, we're sorry, God. And this is what religion does, isn't it? I'm ready to be pardoned. Wait a minute, that ain't up to you. You're the guilty one. You're the condemned. The guilty condemned does not render the verdict. The judge does. Here's the basis upon which we're reconciled to God. Here's how God cannot impute our trespasses unto us, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. How is that possible? He has no sin nature, and he never did any sin. It's called the gospel. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see our text there? Reconciliation. Peace made through blood. So we see in the scripture the importance of peace. Peace between us and God, the vital nature of it. There's only one way that peace can be made. We see that too, don't we? Does it seem strange to you that the one thing that can bring peace with God is blood? Is that strange? Why blood? It's very simple. Justice. Justice. God's not thirsty for blood. He requires justice. And the wages of sin is death. Either Christ paid your sin debt by his sacrificial sin-atoning death on the cross, or you will pay toward your sin debt for eternity in hell. God will be satisfied. His justice will be done. If you go to hell, it'll be because you deserve it. If you go to be with God forever, it'll be because you deserve it. And you know what I mean. Well, you know what I'm saying. Because of the peace made by Christ's blood, justice will be done. And for us, justice is mercy. What a gospel. How can it be? How can it be? For all of God's loved and chosen people, the Lord Jesus Christ made reconciliation by the blood of his cross, that is, by making his own soul a sacrifice for our sin. That's the only way reconciliation can be made. And Christ is the only one who can make it. It's his cross. His cross. By the blood of his cross. Blood because death is owed. His blood because the price is infinite. God himself being infinitely holy. And that price can only be paid by him. That precious blood of infinite worth. The word reconcile means to restore unto favor. You know that in Adam we had the favor of God. We didn't have holiness. Holiness can never sin. It's not that holiness doesn't sin. Holiness can't sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is immaculate. That means he can't sin. It's impossible. What's impossible for us is possible with God. And what we do and are is impossible with God. He can't lie. He cannot sin. He's immaculate. This is just the opposite of what false religion teaches. They say you must accept Jesus. The Bible says God must accept you. And that only happens one way, by the blood of the Savior's cross. By him, I say, Paul said. He repeated this. Why? Because it's vital that we understand that reconciliation cannot be made by us. It's not our place to make it. We have no right to even try. We can't make up for our sin. We can't pay for our sin. We can't atone in any way for our sin. And as I said, we have no right to even attempt to. It's not our place. By him, I say, all that religion does, Hail Marys, indulgences, counting beads, walking aisles, all of it, all the rest of it, anything that man does to mitigate sin just adds to our sin. Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Everything we do is sin. And think about this now. I want to repeat the first part of it again. Everything we do is sin. Everything. Everything he did it to put away our sin. You think about that. Well, he created the heaven and the earth. He didn't do that to put away our sin. Oh, yes, he did. That's exactly why he did it. Everything revolves around that cross. Think about the enmity that's put away. It's mutual. We hate God, and God by nature hates us. And I have to say by nature because we know God's eternal. It's not that God ever hated us and then he changed his mind about us. We know that. We're children of his wrath by nature. He didn't used to hate us, and now he loves us. God loves his elect with an everlasting love without beginning or end because of Christ, in Christ. What we simply mean by saying that by nature we are hated by God is that it requires the blood of Christ to reconcile us and God. In other words, the only way God can look on us in love and favor is by looking to that blood. When I see the blood, not until or unless. When I see the blood, I won't kill you. Is that what he said? What about us? We hate God by nature too. What does God do to reconcile us, not only legally, but personally? It's one thing to wipe the books clean, and he doesn't just do that. We're made the righteousness of God in Christ. The books aren't clean. They're full of righteousness. My righteousness. Because of the Lord, my righteousness. we are beautiful through His comeliness. That's legally, but what does God do to reconcile us personally? He causes us to look to that same blood. By the blood, He made peace. You're going to have to look to Calvary. We see Christ crucified for us, and we lay down arms. It's over. The war is over. I'm shouting that on the inside, aren't you? We look to the cross until all that is on that cross is in our heart. God gives us a new heart, a heart that submits to Christ and surrenders to His sovereign will and that loves Him supremely. Paul said, in earth or in heaven. Think about this. Those who were already in heaven on the day in time upon which Christ died, He reconciled them. They were already enjoying the benefits. That word just doesn't seem strong enough, does it? Of His reconciling blood. But it was that blood that reconciled. Those in heaven and those on earth who by His grace believe on Him. Those who were not yet born are included in those in earth. You weren't there, but you were, even though you weren't born yet. You're descended from somebody who was on the earth then, and so you're counted as in the earth. Everybody that knows Christ, everybody that loves Christ, everybody that's saved by Christ, in earth or in heaven. What about those who were already in hell? Well, very simply, they were not reconciled to God by the blood of God's Son. That's evident, isn't it? And our text reminds us of that, too. This reveals the foolishness of the doctrine that says that Christ died in order to save everybody. There was already a countless number of souls in hell on the day that He died. If you believe that Christ died to redeem everybody, you might want to read the Bible. And I don't say that flippantly. I know I did say it flippantly, but I don't mean it that way. I mean it sincerely, not facetiously. Read the Bible. You need to hear from God. Verse 21, and you that were at one time alienated and enemies in your mind, by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. I'm sure there are nuances to those words, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. And that could be 3 points of discussion. It probably should be. But think about this. How thoroughly this passage of Scripture explains how that it is Christ Himself. By Him, I say. By Him. Christ Himself, by what He did for sinners, that salvation is wrought. Salvation is accomplished. Salvation is perfected and finished. You were at one time alienated and enemies in your mind. That's what we said, what we saw in the Scriptures. Alienated from God and enemies in your mind. Not only had your sin separated between you and your God, but as we saw, there's a question of personal enmity. Alienated from God, our sins have separated between us and our God, but we also hated God. Enemies in your mind, in your being, in your soul, in who you are. That's what we read in those three different passages of Scripture earlier. But notice the words, by wicked works. by wicked works. It's not just a doctrine, is it? It's what we are. It's what we do. It's our very being. What are wicked works? What are wicked works? You know what the best answer to that question is? All of them. It's just another way to say works, isn't it? But a very descriptive way to say works. Not just murder and robbery and adultery. Religious works. We read Philippians 3 this morning, some of it, and we saw what kind of works Paul had to renounce and abandon in order to have Christ. It's what most people would not call wicked works, but they were. There are only wicked works aside from what Christ did for us. So even if you think and say that you're reconciled to God, you say you love God, oh how I love Jesus, you sing that song, you say you worship God, that's what you do when you gather in the so-called church where you go. But if your reconciliation with God is based on anything that you have done, you are an enemy yet of God Almighty. Your wicked works alienate you from God. That's our text. He must reconcile. He must reconcile in the body of his flesh through death. That's how reconciliation happens, by him and what he did for us. Not by being an example to you. Well, he showed us how to live. That's not salvation. He died for us. And it is by that person and that death that we stand before God, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. As I said, we won't take time to see the nuances of those three aspects of our standing before God, but it sounds real good, doesn't it? Perfect. It's perfect. And notice, we're presented that way. We're not found to be that way, but he presents us that way before God. In him, he accomplished it for us. And notice that our good doesn't outweigh our bad. We're holy. Holy, not more holy. Don't take time to be holy. Look to Christ and be holy. In God's sight. You see that? In God's sight. Not a great guy in man's sight. There's a lot of great guys in hell, aren't there? Everybody, when they die, everybody, what does everybody say? Well, he was a great guy. If anybody's in heaven, you know he is. Only the unblameable and unreprovable can be with God. And that's only true by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Notice these words in the text. For you. For you. This is my blood which is shed for you. And notice in closing one final thought that he did the reconciling. Well, you already said that, Chris, but listen to this. As we mentioned a moment ago, whenever there's enmity between two parties on earth, it's the offended party. The one who is wronged is the one that requires reconciliation. It's incumbent upon the one who has committed the offense to reconcile with the one he offended. And God does require reconciliation. But such is the mercy of God in Christ that he not only is the one who demands it, but he's the one who supplies it. The one we wronged, the one that we owe an infinite debt, made reconciliation for us. That's why it's called salvation. And not an opportunity to be saved. It's called being saved. His name is Jesus, for he shall save. He shall save. The best prayer a mortal man ever prayed. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, even the worst one. The worst one. I thought of this song when I wrote down that sentence, the one that we wronged, the one we owe an infinite debt, made reconciliation for us. You know what popped into my mind? Oh, how merciful. How merciful. Precious Lord, how merciful thou art to me. Let's pray.